in the hymnal, Christ Arose. And we will sing all three verses. Let's stand together. All seven of us. Here we are, a biblical number.
We
are. All right. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the seal of death, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Can you outline the third verse?
Yes, I will. Thank you. Death could not keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. And hallelujah, that has happened for us this morning. And we are blessed and we are more than conquerors through Christ, who arose from the dead to save us. Let's sing verse 3. Thank you. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning and welcome. A couple of announcements. Just wanted to continue to encourage you to read seven Psalms a day through the month of April. We're going to get to a point where you arrive at Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 is going to be a day all to itself. And then when we conclude the month on April 30th, there will be 10 Psalms. And 10 is the biblical number for completeness. So we'll spend one day on Psalm 119, and then we'll pick it up, seven Psalms, and then we'll conclude with 10 Psalms on April 30th. While you're reading these Psalms, I pray that God would reveal his glory and his majesty, and that the Lord would give you plenty of promises to share with the congregation when we get back. Many of us, hopefully all of us, are looking forward to the time when we can all gather together as a congregation again. We can all be here. Praise the Lord. I believe Sandy Paoletti did Junior Church this morning. That's a praise online, and I've heard that a number of people are following that, and we're so grateful. Grateful that you're here this morning, but also grateful for those who are joining us in this live stream. I do want to share an invocation, and then the scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And I'll be covering those verses one by one a little later on. So the scripture reading is going to be Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. But first, let us pray. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for Resurrection Sunday. It's a reminder that every day is filled with hope and purpose because our glorious Savior Jesus is alive. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive. He is at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf 24/7. And we are so grateful, Lord Jesus, for your life, your death, your resurrection, your witness and your ascension to the right hand of the Father. And someday, Lord, we look forward to the day when, Lord Jesus, you come back for your church. For we are the betrothed virgin bride, and you, Jesus, are the groom. And we look forward to that day when you come back for your church. In the meantime, O Lord, we ask that you would descend upon this assembly. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Jesus. Come, Heavenly Father. Descend upon this assembly and glorify thy name. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for the saints that have gathered. Thank you, Lord, for feeding us this day. For you and you alone are the bread of life, the resurrection and the life. You are the great I am, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the good shepherd, the true vine. We thank you, Jesus. And we invite you to anoint this service in thy name and for thy glory. Amen.
Amen.
The scripture reading again this morning, taken from the Gospel of Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Excuse me. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things, then enter his glory? And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going on farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, excuse me, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Excuse me. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. At this time, we want to show a YouTube video. It's a song by Chris Tomlin, "He is Worthy." If it isn't clear on the screen, there is a link on the MCR Facebook page, and you can go to that link and view it on another device if you like. But this is the video. It's entitled, "He is Worthy."
Do you know that all the darkness stopped us?
He is worthy of this and so much more. Amen. Turn in your hymnals to 367. Christ the Lord is risen today. And we sing together, Alleluia, for He is our God. And we will just, let's stand. It's like we're all together. Stand at home so that we're all standing together. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth's reply. Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King. Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Alleluia. Dying once he all doth save. Alleluia. Where thy victory the grave. Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done. Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise. Alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies.
Good morning.
Morning.
Christ has risen.
He has risen indeed.
I thought there was a response there somewhere. Yes. Well, this morning's message is the death part of Jesus is a demonstration of God's love. It's a love story. It's a love story that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but inherit everlasting life. This morning's message is a continuing love relationship with God. And it's not just Jesus' death on the cross, but his resurrection. It's his life and his life in us, because he wants to walk with us. That's God's desire, that Jesus would walk with us through the Holy Spirit. And we see this in the on the road to Emmaus, these two disciples, this a continuing love relationship. And unfortunately, too many Christians miss that. You know, they believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but they don't want to enter into that intimacy, that love relationship that God has for us, to walk with us. And we see that demonstrated here in this passage of Scripture. I'm going to go through it one by one now. Now that same day, two of them, that same day being that Sunday morning, that resurrection morning. Now remember, Jesus spent 3 days in the grave, right? Or I don't know if he was in the grave, but he spent 3 days. I mean, And that is because Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it said the ninth hour, when he gave up his ghost, that would be Friday. But as soon as sunset came, that's Saturday. And Saturday is the Sabbath, from sunset Friday until sunset Saturday. And so these disciples can't go anywhere. It's against the Mosaic law for them to travel. So they've been in Jerusalem all this time. And so it's on this Sunday morning that these two disciples, we know one is Cleopas, we're not sure of the other one's name, but they're going to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So they've been there in Jerusalem since Friday afternoon until Sunday, probably late morning, and it's a 7 mile walk. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. This is, again, a demonstration of Jesus died for them. That's an expression, a demonstration of God's love. But this continuing love relationship that God wants to have, that Jesus came alongside and walked with them. You can only imagine what that was like. Now, as he walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So they didn't see him for who he was. This is a supernatural experience that Jesus didn't show himself for who he was at that moment, but just walked with them. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to walk with us every day. He wants that intimate relationship every day. And this is a cooperative. I mean, one of the things I learned with Jesus, especially in the Samaria, when he went to Samaria, Jesus stayed there for 2 or 3 days. God can go wherever he desires. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at any time. He stays where he's welcome. And he was welcomed by these two disciples. They welcomed him to walk with them. He was invited to continue the walk. They could have just said, "Hey, you don't have a clue what's going on. You don't even know what's been happening. We just need to be on our way." But he was invited to stay. And this is a continuing love relationship. It's like the relationship between a husband and a wife. It doesn't end with the "I do." It begins with the "I do." That's when the relationship begins. And so Jesus comes alongside and walks with these two disciples. Of course, he knows everything already, right? God already knows everything. But he wants to come and he wants to walk alongside with us. And so he asks them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along? What's on your heart? What's on your mind?" Jesus asks the question. What's going on in your head? What are you thinking about? What are you consumed with? What are your passions? What's going on? Because he wants to walk with us. They stood still. They stopped. Their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened there these days? Don't you know what's going on?" God always knows what's going on. Amen? He always knows what's going on. He knows what's going on before we know what's going on. "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was," past tense, "a prophet." He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. to purchase Israel from their enslavement, from their bondage to Roman rule. It was Roman rule at the time. But we were hoping that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel, that he was going to come and smite the enemy, that he was going to come and free us from this secular heathen Roman rule. When Jesus walks with us, he walks with free people, free from the bondage of sin, free from selfishness, free from death, free from decay. We don't have to hope, not wishful thinking. Our hope is blessed assurance. This is who Jesus is, and this is what Jesus has done. He has freed us to walk faithfully and uprightly, righteously with him. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. Now, this could be a reference. I guess there was a Jewish belief that on the third day the soul left the human being. But I think this is more of a reference to what Jesus said. And Jesus said that he would rise on the third day. If I can get to it. This is after Peter's confession of faith that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Also from Luke 9. But Jesus said, Luke 9:21, Jesus strictly warned him not to tell this to anyone and said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. And so this is probably a reference to Jesus' own words, that he said he would die, but he would also be raised to life. What's more, it's the third day since all this took place. Verse 22. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us what they had seen, a vision of angels who said he was alive. So this is still a mystery to these disciples. Jesus has appeared to Simon Peter, but he has not appeared to the disciples as a group in the upper room until evening. And these disciples have left Jerusalem and they're on their way to Emmaus. So he has not appeared to them all, only to Mary Magdalene and to Simon Peter. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Remember what Thomas said in the upper room, unless I put my finger in the wounds, because he wasn't there that first night. Verse 25, he said to them, Jesus said to these two disciples, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Now, Jesus is not calling them idiots. If you hear the voice, you're an idiot, it's not God. Okay? He's not calling them idiots. If you go to the original Greek, it means unintelligent, unwise, or without learning. You haven't learned. You haven't studied. The Greek root word is to exercise the mind, to observe, to comprehend or to heed, to consider, perceive, think about. In other words, you haven't yet put your brain to the task of discovering the truth of who I am, who God is, and what the Word says about me. And so that's all he's saying. And brothers and sisters, I want to say this as kindly as I can. It's an epidemic in the church in the day in which we live that men, women, and children do not put their face in God's holy Word to understand and to learn and to make wise. It's foolishness for any Christian not to be reading their Bible and not to be putting their faith in Him. Because anything that comes to our heart must come through our mind. Let's see, it would have been October 1981. Were you born, Holly? Holly wasn't born. Allison definitely wasn't. Well, a couple of us were born back then. October of 1981, I fell in love. Now, I'd known Cynthia from high school, but we didn't really associate, so this is many years later. My senses, my brain saw and heard. That love had to come through my brain first. I had to see. I had to hear. I don't remember what she smelled like, but it was probably good. And of course, I wasn't touching her at the time. But our senses, it comes through our brain. So this word has to come through our brain. And then it comes into our heart. And when it comes into our heart, it lights a fire of passion. And that's what Jesus is saying. How foolish you are because you haven't exercised your mind. You haven't comprehended or heeded or considered or perceived or thought about and understood. And therefore you're slow of heart. You're slack. You're lax. You lack understanding. Because the Greek word for heart is cardia, and it means the thoughts and the feelings of your heart. Those thoughts and feelings of our heart come through the brain. They come through the brain. What we see, what we hear. So that's what Jesus is saying. You're uneducated. You're unwise. He's not saying you can't learn. He's saying you haven't gotten there yet. And that's the continual loving relationship of Jesus to teach us more, to help us to understand more through His Word. How slow of heart to believe, and to believe means to have faith, to be convinced of, to be convicted of truth, to entrust and commit to the truth. That's what believe is. How foolish are you and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And the truth is, as human beings with our finite understanding, a lifetime of seeking His face, of seeking the Lord, a lifetime will only scratch the surface on who God is. But in this continuing loving relationship that God wants to have with us, He wants to walk with us and come alongside us and to teach us so that we don't fall on our faces, so that we don't become deceived, so that we don't know what's happening. He wants us, this loving relationship is to keep us safe. How foolish you are. You haven't learned things yet. Not that you're not capable. And how slow of heart, just lax and uninterested maybe. Maybe not interested. Some people aren't interested in God or the Bible. Some people in church, they're interested in other things. Slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. And of course, this is the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament. Without the Old Testament, we have no context into what Jesus came to fulfill. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses, the first five books, the Pentateuch, and all the prophets, which is the end of the Old Testament, so that means everything in between. The wisdom writings, the Psalms, the Proverbs, everything from Moses to the prophets. The Old Testament ends with Malachi, the prophet. Everything in between, from the beginning to the end. He took them through the whole Old Testament. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Jesus took them through the whole Old Testament. Every scripture that talked about Him. This is a 7-mile walk. I don't know what the average person walks. 2.5 miles an hour? Maybe? 3 miles an hour? Every once in a while they'd stop, I'm sure. This walk, which was, what, a couple hours? 2.5, 3 hours maybe? 7 miles? I don't know, you know, up and down, you know. There's no, it's not a bike path. But anyway, this one, he opened up the scriptures to them. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. The Psalms that we're reading this morning, 22 through 28, the very first verse of Psalm 22, Jesus quotes on the cross, my God, why have thou forsaken me? God desires a continuing, loving relationship, and he wants to walk with us. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. You see, hungering, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They were being filled. They're being filled. Hey, please don't go away. When we get a taste of Jesus, when he walks with us in his humility, in his love, in his patience, in his kindness, sometimes in his strong words, but when we get a taste of that, we want more. Stay with us. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. Hey, we did this last week. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it. Right? We did this, communion. And began to give it to them. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? Were not our hearts encouraged with passion, with joy, from hopeless to hopeful? Excuse me. Burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Holy Scriptures to us, the Bible. They got up and returned at once. This was a 7-mile trip. They couldn't contain themselves. They got up and returned immediately to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. You see, this continuing love relationship that God desires with us, that Jesus to walk with us. He comes by invitation. He comes to those who seek him. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking, and he will come because he desires the very best for us. If you go down a little bit further in Luke 24:44, he said to them, talking to all the disciples, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written. Oops. About me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. This is the good news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And then once we're cleansed and once we're reconciled to our Creator God through the blood of Jesus, we're reconciled to him. We have a relationship with him. And now the continuing love relationship begins. It can't begin until we're forgiven, until we're cleansed. And that's why the message of repentance and forgiveness is the beginning. And that's what the disciples were to preach. I want to go to John, because this is how it's accomplished, because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And so how is he going to walk with us on earth? I could read those lips. Uh-oh. I'm not a good lip reader. But I could read those lips. The Holy Spirit. And so look at the Gospel of John, chapter 15. When the counselor comes, verse 26. John 15, 26. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. Part of this love relationship, this continuing love relationship, is so that we will not go astray. If Jesus was warning the disciples not to go astray, certainly we could go astray. Okay? Pick it up, John 16, 5. The words of the Lord. Excuse me. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. Excuse me. It is allergies. I'm not sick. Those of you who know me know I get this dry cough. Excuse me. We're back in John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your own good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, the Holy Spirit. I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. We need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's part of the love relationship with Jesus walking with us. Because without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we do not know when we sin. And without forgiveness, we hinder our relationship with God. When he comes, in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. That is an epidemic in the day in which we live, in the church as well. They don't believe in the Holy Word of God. They don't believe in sin. They don't believe in the righteousness requirements of a holy God. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father. We need to know what righteousness is, and the Holy Spirit will bring that conviction. I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. That's Satan. Verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me. And this is Jesus walking with us, this continuing love relationship that the Father and the Son have sent the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to express his love, to care for us so that we're not damaged by the world in which we live. This relationship that God walks with us through the Holy Spirit now. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the presence of the Father and the Son, for they are spirit. I mentioned earlier about falling in love. It's inside. It's in here. It's still here. It goes with me wherever I go. It's not like my wallet. I have to pick it up off a table or something, put it in my pocket, and walk out the door. It's here. And this is the continuing love relationship that God wants to have with us. Jesus wants to walk with us, and he walks with us through the Holy Spirit to show us his love and to keep us safe. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday every day.
for those who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. It's a celebration every day. And this day and every day is filled with hope and purpose. But remember, as Jesus walked with those disciples, he desires to walk with us through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to end with this scripture in Philippians. Philippians 3, I believe. Excuse me, Philippians 3:10. The Apostle Paul speaking. He understood this. He understood this continuing love relationship with Jesus. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let us walk with Jesus in this loving relationship that he desires for us.
Turn in your hymnals to 358. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We can stand or sit, whatever is comfortable. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Let us pray together. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank You for Your great love. Heavenly Father, how You demonstrated Your love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate new life. We celebrate the power of new life. We celebrate freedom. For You have redeemed us. You have purchased us by Your own blood, Jesus. And even now at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf 24/7, walking with us, continuing this love relationship. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for today. And we thank You, Lord, that You are alive and living and thriving in Your church. Sovereign Lord, thank You for watching over the flock. Thank You for watching over our families. Thank You, Lord, for interceding on behalf of our friends. Thank You, Lord, for Your holy word. And Lord Jesus, I pray that You would open our minds and open our hearts to the truth and the glory and the majesty and the power of Almighty God. As we read Your word, may it penetrate deep into our souls, deep into our hearts. As the psalmist has said, I have hidden Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. It is a lamp unto our feet. Lord, open our minds and open our hearts that the Son of Glory may thrive in us. Thank You for Your love relationship. Please bless each person, our friends and our family, until we can assemble again. Speak to us through Your word, in Jesus' name. And for His sake, amen. We'll close with a song benediction.
Oh, Father, let Thy love remain. Oh, Son, may I Thy likeness gain. Oh, Spirit, stay to comfort me. Oh, Triune God,